Good afternoon, everyone. This is not church. You can come forward. Welcome to the nominating committee's forum for the people who are running for office. I should tell you up front, this is limited to 6 committees. I will also confess I will only name 5 of them to you because I can never, there's always one I drop off the list. So it is not the president's committee, not the moderator committee. It's things like the board, commission on social witness, commission on appraisal, nominating committee, board of review, and board of trustees. Yes. Okay, so those are the folks who we have put forward as nominees to be elected by the General Assembly of Delegates. My name is Joe Cherry. I'm the minister of our congregation in Cleveland Heights, and I'm currently serving as the chair of this committee. We, last year, did a little work internally about who we thought we reported to. We've had discussions with the appointments committee about who they report to, because our work is very similar, but not exactly the same. The appointments committee reports to the board of trustees, and we report to the gathered delegates of the General Assembly only. So in the interim between meetings and changing of bylaws, the bylaws are what we have to go by. So with that, it's going to be fairly informal. We're going to invite folks up to say hello, who they are, say their names, give a maybe 2-minute thing about why they were interested in the position they're running for, and then I guess we can open to questions. Does that sound okay to everybody? All right, so.
Is there anyone here who's not nominated?
Yeah. There's some folks. Yeah. So how many people are nominated? I should know this, but I can't remember. Okay, so why don't we start in the front row and then just kind of wend our way back, being gracious to each other and as we're all human beings. Shall we? So start with your name and what you're running for, please.
Good afternoon. I'm Kathy Burek, and I have been nominated for the UUA Board of Trustees. I have the honor of having been appointed to fill an unexpired term back about the 3rd week in March. Think about that one. I find myself on the board because, as you heard a lot this morning, Jim Key asked me to. He's touched an awful lot of us, and he and I go back a ways as district presidents. I chose to say yes to the encouragement to apply to serve on the board because I really feel that this faith has such possibilities, and it just inspires me every time I think about what we can do together and what we can be together. I will not go into a whole lot of my background because you can read that on page 85 of the book. You can go to the UUA website or just ask me if you see me around the halls. Yes, ma'am. Kathy Burek, B-U-R-E-K. So let me just share a couple things that I feel are important to say in this moment. I feel strongly committed to a Unitarian Universalist faith that is truly multicultural, anti-oppressive, anti-racism, and maximally inclusive. I'm old enough to remember when women weren't quite welcome, and white women by white men, and I want to be clear that the women's movement of the 70s was narrowly focused. And so I know what that feels like, to not quite fit in, to not quite, you know, have your culture, your way of being not accepted. And so I don't want that happening in our faith community to anybody else. I also know that many of you may have concerns about recent revelations about things like severance packages, and I and the rest of your board are absolutely committed to making sure that things like that do not happen again. We passed a couple of policies yesterday to say, okay, no more, this doesn't happen. At the same time, we can only know what we're told. And in a lot of cases, we weren't told. So I pledge to you that I will work with my colleagues on the board to make this a broadly inclusive UUA, to center the voices of people of color, indigenous, our youth, our GLBTQ community, because those of us who are in the mainstream, the traditional power structure of the association, need to sit back, shut up, and listen, as we were advised to this morning. And that's my pledge to you. And again, it's an honor to serve you all.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Walker. I am nominated for the nominating committee. I am an interim minister, currently serving in Pennsylvania, but I'm on my way this summer to California. I have been deeply affected by the conversation happening in the wider denomination, especially over the last few months. And I'm acutely aware that I stand up here as a nominee, as a white male, knowing that that the conversation that we're having is looking at diversity and leadership. And so, going on to the nominating committee, one of the things that I want to remind myself of, something that I have learned in life, is that when I feel like there's a moment when I am in a conversation and I should offer an opinion, instead, I want to step back, I want to think and realize maybe I should listen rather than talk. And then when there is a next opportunity, instead of offering the opinion then, maybe I should ask questions. And these are the two lessons that I want to carry with me in my work on the nominating committee. And I, as Kathy just said, I share a commitment to fostering multiculturalism and diversity in our whole movement. Thank you.
I'm Holly Oldbrick. I am a candidate for the Commission on Appraisal, which I wanted to serve on for a long time, partly because it was founded by my theological hero, James Luther Adams, who is the only Unitarian theologian on the reading list in my Methodist seminary when I retired and went to seminary. I'm a member of a congregation in South Carolina. Grew up in the Congregational Church, so there's kind of an ancestral connection there, but this is definitely home. And I've been teaching since my first retirement. I've been teaching in a doctoral program in policy studies, and I've always been fascinated with policy, and particularly with figuring out how to ensure that policy is widely owned by the people, not only for whom, but also by whom it is made. That's the role of focus groups. That's the role of inviting other people. And the idea of dialoguing with members of the commission and dialoguing with congregations and other affected parties in making recommendations that think long-term about where we're going as a faith tradition and those policies that will help us to be all that we can be as a faith tradition. So I hope that, because I've done a great deal of policy work, this is always my most painful confession, I was spent a year on sabbatical as a policy analyst in the Reagan administration in a very small entity that was dominated by state and local government, which at that time was still in the hands of the other party. But it was a useful experience in understanding how we make policy and how important it is for the people, as I said, for whom and by whom you're making policy, have some ownership. So I hope my experience in doing that kind of work will make a contribution to the commission.
Hi, I'm David Friedman, Rochester, New York, the candidate commission on appraisal, and I came both to endorse. I've worked with Kathy before, she's good. So I have been involved both in my church, the district, and then I had the opportunity to do some financial work with the UUA, and then I was 8 years on the UUA board, six of which they were studying policy governance. So I've sort of been in the thick of that side of it and trying to hit that balance between improving accountability and governance, of which we obviously have problems, and not having the governance model become the religion in itself, which I think is one of the So there's value in those discussions, but that matter's at least been settled. So I was on the audit committee, finance committee, and I got to have an opportunity that was really exciting. Back when the board had members on the ministerial fellowship committee, I served two years there, and that was very inspiring. It's very inspiring to see people coming along and see what the future, you know, looks like. So I do have a diverse experience. It is in the program book. You know, whether that makes me wise or just an old fogey, I don't know. I certainly, as somebody in their mid-70s, I'm feeling and white and male and having probably gained quite a bit by privilege I never thought about. This is a very important GA, and, every hour I spend here, a little wiser. So I do not know what the... whether the commission's taking on new study things during the term, and I know they're reporting out on the class, so I don't know. There's a meeting tomorrow. I really don't know yet what the study. The commission basically looks at issues that have a longer throw than annual from GA to GA to give them a deeper look. So what'll coming up, I don't know, but I'll clip it there. There's my details are in the book, and you see me around, ask me any questions.
Hi, I'm Charlie Ortman. I'm dressed today in business casual for this event. So my suspicion is that most people don't know the function of the Board of Review. So I thought I might start by saying a bit about that. When ministers run afoul of our guidelines and the rules that we abide by, they sometimes end up in front of the Ministerial Fellowship Committee, and they have their fellowship revoked. And in an effort to provide a due process and fairness, there is an appellate level that they can go to in order to try to be reinstated in ministry. And that appellate level is known as the Board of Review. If Randy Berman has it correct, the Board of Review was not called into action for probably 4 to 7 years at this point, which does not mean that ministers have not been defrocked during that time. It means that they have not appealed those rulings. And so because you can read my past in the booklet as well, but because of that past, because of my involvement in clergy sexual abuse and misconduct and on Task Force 1 and I think every other committee that you mentioned, aside from the Commission on Appraisal, I've served on in my time, and I may look very young, but in fact, I'm just immature. Why I said yes? First of all, because I was asked to do this, and my call to ministry is a call to Unitarian Universalist ministry, and part of that call says to me that if I am asked to do something that I'm capable of doing, my answer has to be yes to that. And because I do know something about the subject matter that often ends up in front of the MFC and in front in what might be in front of the Board of Appeal, I felt like I needed to say yes on that account as well. So that's really, I think, all that I have to say. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Jessica Falconer. I am a nominee for the nominating committee, which sounds suspiciously like what it used to be called, the Committee on Committees. I'm the nominee for the nominating, Mike before me. And I'm committed to diversity, and that is the most important thing, I think, across the board. It should be always, but this year, it's good that the events have drawn our focus to that. What I bring particularly, though, is my ability to listen to people, especially people different than me, in any variety. And so with my commitment to diversity and my ability to listen, along with something you use are very afraid of, is like missionary work and proselytizing. We don't like saying the G word, and we don't like saying the C word. I'm very good at spreading the importance of our faith and the importance of participation in the national part of our faith. So I hope that I can bring that to the nominating committee.
My name is Sarah Dan Jones. I use the pronouns she, her, hers. I identify as a lesbian, a non-wounded Christian who also is a Unitarian Universalist. I actually stood in not this room, it was a different room last year, because I, like Kathy, last year served on the Board of Trustees and filling a one-year term. And then I was asked if I would serve a full term, which is 3 years. In my personal opinion, 4 years is perhaps a little long, but I'm happy to do it. My personal mission statement is, I am a UU musician, and I spread the good news of Unitarian Universalism through music. I am, I believe, the first person on the UUA board who carries a music portfolio. Certainly there are many musicians, but I'm the director of music in Plymouth, New Hampshire, and so as a religious professional, I'm very happy to serve on that in that perspective. And part of my mission is active participation in our association, which I've done in the 15 years since I've been a Unitarian Universalist. So I've learned a lot this past year on the board. One of the things I've learned to do is to practice active listening. I certainly have a voice, and I have something to say, but I don't need to go first to say that, and I need to practice listening. As was mentioned this morning by Alandria, if you were in the general session, that we do have a People of Color caucus on our board, which we are working very hard on the board to center their voices in our decision-making, and that is a good thing, and it is a hard thing as a white person to grapple with my own self, and my active listening is a big part of that. I am proud to serve as a board member of the Unitarian Universalist Board of Trustees, and I will be proud to serve another 3 years as well. Thank you so much.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Manish Mishra Marzetti. I'm a minister in our movement, serving a congregation in the Boston suburbs. I have a fairly long background of serving committees and commissions within Unitarian Universalism. Some of that background is printed in your program book, so I'm not going to go over that point by point. But I will share, last fall, winter, when I was considering the prospect of joining the UUA board and serving our movement in this way, foremost on my mind was simply the idea that we would have a new president of our denomination, and I wanted to be part of the board's work in setting the direction, the vision, the goals for that new presidency. So it was that alone was kind of my motivation and excitement, was that there's a new era that's about to unfold for Unitarian Universalism, and I wanted to be a part of helping lead and shape and guide that. And then, as a colleague just said, we then have BT before the, or after the troubles, or whatever, the before time.
So before.
That was before times, and now we have the after times for the past 2-3 months. And, you know, things have changed dramatically in our association, and it is very clear to me that we have an opportunity for really beginning the work of transforming how we relate to one another, how we understand one another, how we are truly including the multiplicity of voices that are reflected in the world and in our nation in our religious movement. That is not easy work to do because that's represented in structures, in ways of communication, in the ways things are organized in our bylaws and how we do business. It's reflected in a lot of who we currently are. And what I've seen as I've been shadowing the board and preparing to join it is that there's a real commitment to beginning to tackle some of that. And so it's with gratitude in my heart that I look forward to joining my colleagues and peers on the board in that work.
Stop doing that. Sorry. So as I was sitting and watching the parade of folks coming up, I sort of felt like I needed to say to you, Joanne, you're still gonna come, right? So why don't you come up and I'll say what I have to say after that. I didn't realize you were back that far. And you should come up, Jude. I can say it now if you don't mind. So I guess what I wanted to say was the nominating committee is a majority-minority committee, and we have worked very intentionally and carefully and slowly into building that. And we only can work with the folks that apply to serve these committees. So one of the missions we've been on the last couple years, right, Elnora, is to recruit more folks of color who both have and want to grow skills. I'm a big believer that your volunteer work should help you get ahead at your real job if it can. You know, I became an accountant because I did nonprofit database work for an LGBT center in the late 80s. So it's part of the development. And I was watching all these people coming up thinking, we worked so hard to make a really diverse board to like really include lots of folks of color. And it just hasn't appeared that way. And so I didn't want the session to close without me saying we are really working and attending on that. And in fact, the appointments committee and the nominating committee met earlier today, and we are going to make a push that every person elected to a position by the end of GA will have to go through a anti-racism, multiculturalism, anti-oppression training. So that's our next push for next year. I felt suddenly the need to explain that when I watched the parade of people come up here. So sorry to be out of order.
Thank you. My name's Joanne Giannino. I've been serving our congregation in Urbana, Illinois for the past year as an interim. You can read a little bit about me in the program, but I'm happy to be here today and to see all of you. I like to be part of people finding out how they want to serve, and so serving on the nominating committee seems to make sense to me. And I'm just grateful and looking forward to being on the team. Thanks.
Good afternoon. A few of you know how to do that. I bet a few more of you know how to do that. Good afternoon. Excellent. My name is Deborah Gray Boyd, and I have had the privilege of serving in an appointed way on the General Assembly Planning Committee for 2 years, and then a 4-year term being elected. The maximum anyone can possibly have the privilege of serving on the General Assembly Planning Committee is 10 years. And while we don't need everyone to do that, on occasion it's nice to have a little institutional memory. Because we are really transitioning. My very first GA that I got to help plan was Justice GA. Anybody in the house at that particular GA? And now we're here at our Justice-themed GA. creating the container in which we gather, in which we can discern, in which we can be in relationship and create justice and transformation in our faith is one of my passions. I was a Montessori kid, and I believe that the structure makes a difference. And so I am really privileged and feel very grateful to be able to run yet again to finish out this 10-year window as we try to look at institutionalizing some of the changes that we have made. Because I think Justice GA made a difference in this faith and learning how to follow. We were asked by people in Phoenix to show up in clerical collars, and our people went out and bought them. And we are here in relationship with local groups as well. And so that's why I'm running, because I am committed to this faith, because I have a youth in this faith who has been saving for seminary for 7 years, even though she is only 16. I need you, and I need this community for myself, for my own salvation, and for the salvation of my family in this world. And therefore, that is why I am running. So thank you ever so much. And please, if you have the least little thing to say about GA, catch me and say hello, because I love to hear about how things are going for folks.
So we have the room for a little longer. I would love to be able to answer questions or ask Marcia to come forward and we can talk about how this works. I feel like it's a good chance for some education. So please use what little brains I have to help you. Any other questions about how the process works? Yes, hi, sorry. It's a slate. So we, the nominating committee gets together. We got together last year in November, and we had looked through the last prior 2 years' applications of volunteers. And thank you for that, by the way. And we interviewed folks. We called people and called the references. Got together in a very tiny room with no windows, and. We figured out, I'm going to pick up names, Adam, Betty, and Charlene wanted to be on this committee first. We put them in a pile and a list, and we tried to match people to where they wanted to go first. And then we sort of moved people around with attention to things like gender makeup, racial makeup, which is stated in applications, geography, very important. We're really light on Southern leadership, and we're trying to change that. Congregational size is important to us. So we are trying to, it's a funny matrix of things and an imperfect system, but we're doing our best to make sure that our leadership does what?
Skills.
Oh, and the skills. Ken's big in the skills. To make sure that we are trying to show, put forward a balance of who we are to the best of our ability with the pool we have. Skills, as Ken said, is also important. So if you are taking your first accounting class, we're not going to put you as CFO of the UUA. But like I said earlier a little bit, I also believe that you can develop skills in your volunteer work. I think it's volunteer work should not just be about making things better for the whole. If you can get skills for your own life, that's all the better. I feel it's more rewarding that way. Ken, do you want to come up and say anything else? You want to come use the microphone so people can hear you, sir? Did you all catch that? So one of the things that we look at really strongly is how much training and engagement an applicant has in anti-oppression, anti-racism, multicultural stuff. And like I said a little bit ago, that's the reason we're going to, we are asserting. Board people who are up for nomination know that we'll be coming with a letter to you about that, because we want to reinstitute that.
Yes, sir. Not you, after your Tim. Well, sir, I will tell you my first degree is in American history with a focus on Protestant religious movements, so I totally hear your interest in that. I don't know how we would interface that with our stuff, but it's, I mean, there's enough of us here, we can remember this discussion for later, right? I don't know, it isn't something we do currently, but it's an interesting question. And if you come to my church, you'd hear history all the time. Yes, Tim, then you, sir, you're the next, number two, okay? Okay, please do. Say who you are.
Hi, I'm Tim Atkins. I serve on the UUA Board of Trustees and have the appointments portfolio. So the slate, there are multiple candidates for multiple positions. None of the elections except for president are contested. So the people in your booklet are all up for a spot, and then there are multiple spots on these committees up for election. I hope that answered your question.
I have one more follow-up question. So, and that helps me very much. So there's, in looking at the book, this looks like there's six people that are not represented in the room today. Is that reflective of their level of interest in serving on the board?
No, so let me answer that. As a person who, so I stand before you, chair of the nominating committee. I am a chaplain for diverse racial, for DRUM. Many of us who are at this level of activity have about 5,000 things we're doing at General Assembly. So last year, a new member wanted to know why we couldn't schedule a second meeting during GA. And remember this? And I said, if you have another responsibility or commitment here at GA, raise your hand. Out of the 18 people there, all but one person was like. So it's simply a matter of juggling. So we don't get to pick these times. And we, conflicts happen. That's just part of the things. So it's not indicative of their interest or not. There are three candidates who had to withdraw their names for different reasons. One was a job switch. One person's mother got very ill. And I can't remember the third. So the appointments committee, who is led by Marcia now, they will be making one-year appointments like the ones that you guys served in because things happen in people's lives. Your mom gets sick. You got to do that. Eleanor, do you want to go now or can I ask you later? Yes, ma'am.
Do not select people to be on the slate unless you are a member of a Unitarian Universalist church. So we're just not going to go out there and pick every Tom, Dick, and Harry, which means that we're looking at what kind of service have you given in your church? Have you volunteered to do anything in your church, locally, district, or national? So that may answer your question, Irvin. So really we're looking at seeing how long have you been a member of a church.
Thank you. So do you want to come up and ask the question? And then you can be number two, okay?
Okay, with regard to one of the issues that I guess has disturbed me was this revelation of the fiasco with regard to the severance packages. And so with regard to the candidates for the board, I'd like to know what kind of things the board has been doing to prevent something like this from happening again.
So do you want to talk about that?
You can vote.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, the Board of Trustees meets four times a year, face-to-face. And then we have a standing, I'm just giving you a little background. Then we have a standing meeting the fourth Thursday of every month via Zoom call. In the past 3 months, we've had a Zoom call every week. So as events unfolded, we met recently, this most recently on Tuesday and Wednesday. So we met this week. We are in policy governance. And so we did, as Kathy mentioned, we did pass two policies yesterday, just yesterday. One is, and Tim can help me with the language, and One is a limitation on how much the president can spend over the budget, which is 0.5%, which comes to about, in our current budget, about $75,000. So in other words, the president cannot spend over $75,000 without permission of the board.
Over budget,
right, okay. The second policy that we passed was one that we know that the severance package agreements were outside of the purview of the current UUA employee handbook. So the policy that we just passed was to reiterate the fact that severance packages cannot be granted outside of what is listed in the UUA employee handbook, right? And so that seems like it's something that is redundant and that we perhaps shouldn't have had to do that, but it was a way, a current way, that we can deal with the it's a technical fix to this problem. The long-term fix will be in the study, the commission study, for institutional change, which you might have heard Sophia speak of this morning, which is a two-year study where they'll be looking at all of the hiring practices of Unitarian Universalism and the policies adjusted in concert with that on all levels, and where we're headed with that in ways that these kind of things hopefully won't happen again, surely won't happen. Well, I can't say surely. I don't know that. We can do our best, but the long-term view is to look at how we structure ourselves in such that this wouldn't happen again. Do you want to add anything to that? Tim, do you want to add anything? Manish is also running for the board, so I'm happy.
So I'm not yet elected. I'm not yet on the board. I'm going to speak as a personal individual. And as I have learned about the situation, as you've also learned about the situation, I can say as a long time, at this point in time, a long time UU who's cared about diversity in our faith and followed this for 20-ish years, I don't know a single paid professional of color who, when they've had to leave their job because it's the right thing to do, you had to move on because maybe the congregation wasn't ready for diverse leadership, the setting wasn't the right setting, or it's just time to move on for any number of reasons, that has received a generous financial parachute in order to facilitate that departure. It doesn't happen for certain categories of leaders in our movement. And so what's very disturbing to me is the pattern. So when I spoke a few minutes earlier, I said, it's ingrained in patterns of behavior that have to do with how some folks are looked out for and some might not be looked out for in the same way. And it's reflected in communication patterns, in patterns of relationality and behavior, bylaws and structures. And we really need to look at all of that if we're serious. And a colleague of mine spoke to the clergy yesterday, and one of the things he said is, we really need to decide whether we're serious or not about diversity, and now's the moment. So thank you for that question.
And that's all. Yes,
thank you, sir, that it is part of our history. So we're not starting from zero. Like, these questions have been before us for about 50 years. We've chosen not to act on these questions. So we have an opportunity before us whether we're gonna get serious and start to act on these questions and change our behavior patterns, look at how structures of communication and bylaws are supporting outcomes that don't reflect the best of who we are and intend to be.
Please give me, are you from Wisconsin?
Yes.
I'm surprised.
I'm Nancy Schrafnagel from Madison, Wisconsin. I'm a member of Prairie UU Society, which is celebrating our 50th year this September. I need to know how many positions are open in all of these categories.
Oh, I'm glad you asked that, because it's going to let me pitch this next thing. Ready? If you come to our booth in the exhibit hall, we have a lovely pamphlet which we have printed for you, which has all of the openings for our six committees, for next year and the year after that. Randy, our beautiful model, will, oh, and Ken, our other beautiful model, will show them to you right now. So I'm not being flippant. I want you to know that we thought about that, but I cannot remember those numbers in my head. I couldn't just rattle them off to you. But we have pamphlets. Yeah. But we have 300 of these, so come get one. Are you asking a different question? Yes, we have enough people to fill all the spots currently. Right, and we did turn, well, because we had more applicants than spots, there were people who we did have to call and say no. So when we meet together, we have the task of saying, would you like to apply? And I'm sorry we couldn't find you a spot this year, both. So do you look like your question's not answered? I hear that. I'm trying to get to it.
See if I've got it right. Okay, and the other one about the microphone is that if you don't do this and you do this, you're not heard. You're not heard when it's down here. You are heard when it's directly in front of you. But a lot of people speak loudly enough anyway. Does this answer your question? Because I think I heard it before. For the president, there are three people running for one position. Every other person listed there is running for a vacant position. So the number of candidates after the president equal the number of vacancies. So in fact, it's a 1-to-1. So there aren't any times when you're going to say, I'm going to leave somebody out, because there aren't any contested places outside of the president. Is that accurate?
To my knowledge, yes. Thank you. Sorry.
Does that answer your question? Okay.
I wasn't getting it. So do you, thank you. The gentleman in the yellow is going to, is there this question or something else separate?
Similar.
Okay, I have not forgotten you.
Okay, I'm Marcia Bowman. I am the current chair of the Appointments Committee. And yes, the Nominating Committee does have a person for each of their slots. The Appointments Committee, however, has several open positions. And you are welcome to stop by the booth at some point, and we can let you know things that are in fact available that would be appointed by the board on recommendation of the Appointments Committee.
Thank you. Sir, no. Are you also want to speak? Because you're number three. No. I'm trying to force the talk, sorry.
So I think sometimes when good ideas are mentioned, they go by too quickly. And I want to pick up on an idea that was expressed a few minutes ago with a recommendation, and that is your idea about scanning and vetting in regard to history of potential candidates. And it seems to me that not only can we put people who know something about Unitarian Universalist history into a position of having an effect on the future of the movement, but we can create a need for knowledge of our history by having a checkbox on the application for folks running for office that says level of knowledge of Unitarian Universalist history. And they can, you know, maybe give it a 1 to 5 and they can rate themselves on that. But I think we change the entire culture of historical knowledge in our movement if we have something like that. And so my recommendation to the Nominating Committee is get that question on the nominating application.
So does our board liaison hear that? Huh? It's not me, and you're as close as I have for now. So I'm not on the board. No, actually, we don't commit our own application. Not yet. Number two.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I just wanted to respond quickly to the history question, which is just I just want to lift up that I feel like we have a living tradition, and so to me the history as well is changing as we come to understand it from different lenses. And I feel like from a seminarian perspective, being a newer minister, most of the history I read was written by white people from a white person's perspective on our denomination. So I think history of service is important. I think some knowledge of history is important, and certainly being grounded in this faith. But I want to open up. I'm learning new history every day here.
So I think that what Mr. Williams was talking about was history of the work you do individually in the church. Yes, that's what I think. Do you mean both, sir? You mean both? Okay, this is...
What I'm talking about is the history of the UU faith, where it started from, and the thing... There are some people, because I go to a Unitarian church, and we have a class there, and a lot of folks in that class, they don't know anything about UU history. And that bothers me.
You'll have to wait. This gentleman's been very patient, and I'm... Come on up, sir.
This is your chance.
Yeah.
I've been... Let me give him my biggest response to that. Ready? I'm not responsible for that.
Just a couple of thoughts, and I've only been a UU a couple of years. Okay, so forgive me, my Lutheran and UCC traditions. But what bothers me most is that you said you had other people that were interested in positions, mm-hmm. and they weren't vetted, or so it's like you called an election, but you got one slate, except for the presidency. Just a thought. The other thought I have.
Okay, so there are always more applicants than spaces. People can run from the floor. So our job in the nominating committee is to figure out who can best serve us and who is best served by the positions they're in. And we are told by bylaw to offer one, to offer a slate. So that's a UA bylaw. That's not a decision by our committee. That is what the delegates have gathered together and voted for. So we're following their instruction. So there's no like fast thing going, no show, nothing going.
No,
just saying, that's okay.
What?
And anyone can run by petition.
Too much work. Anyway, my other question is that when whatever the severance package was, which I have no clue and don't really care, but aren't those things reviewed by the board?
So, the answer to that I think isn't it was not. Do you know this answer, Tim? And this is far, far, far from the business of the nominating committee. So let's just talk about that, all right? So we'll have to close off after that.
Actually, we were expecting these questions. Don't worry. My name is Tim Atkins. I serve on your UA Board of Trustees. I'm chair of the policy, chair of the governance working group and the appointments liaison. The board... This is it. The contracts as signed for the severance packages were legal and were signed by people authorized to sign for them. So the question is whether the board reviews all of the staff decisions. The answer to that is no. In our governance system, the staff does the staff work. On Tuesday, we passed a policy that says from now on, if the severance package goes beyond what's an employee handbook, the full board has to approve that severance package. So going forward, the answer to that is yes. Looking back, would have been great to have this policy 6 months ago. Yes, it would have. But we didn't. So we had the failure of imagination that that would happen. And it did. So what we can do is try to focus on where we go forward from there. And I think that's what I can say.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a question or a reflection on what we've been talking about? I don't think I want to do that anymore. I feel like we've kind of beat that for a while. Yes, sir.
I just want to make one comment and one question. One comment is, board people got up here and talked about that severance package. Assuming some of us, or I guess assuming all of us knew what you were talking about, this goes on all the time. I've been at so many GAs, people talk as if we have the inside knowledge. And you guys who are on the board. You've got so much inside knowledge, and you speak down to us as if we should know what's going on and we can follow your words. Most of the time, I can't follow what you're talking about. You allude to things I don't even know what's going on. And it's really, I'm still not sure. I think Tim's points were pretty important to add that this was legally done. But this leads to my question, because you brought up training. I've been on a lot of boards, and many board members do not understand what their responsibilities are as a board member. You brought up the skill word. I talk about fiduciary responsibility, and I'm amazed how many people go on a board who think their only purpose for being there is to push their personal agenda. That's not what they're there for. So the question is, what training goes on, is the nominating committee thinking about going, should go on, to train our board people as to what their proper responsibility is?
I have an answer for that. So the answer for that is this, and I don't mean appear to be flippant. I'm just excited that I have the answer. Last year, the nominating committee and decided that we would, each of us liaises with one of our committees that we populate. And one of the assignments this year was we developed five questions that every person who talked to a committee asked that committee chair to develop a job description. So that when I ask you, Ed, you know, would you serve on the nominating committee, you could say, what is it? And I'll say, here are your responsibilities. This is what you can expect. This many hours a month, this many travel times a year, that'll all be on there. So we are actually working to implement that right now. Okay? So I don't want my excitement to be like, I'm going to ask you to come up here.
That's absolutely terrific question, because you recognize there are six bodies, commissions, committees that we nominate for. The board is the one that has something that I would consider, and I think in your definition, fiduciary responsibility. Others have accountabilities in various forms to others. So, for example, there's the Commission on Appraisal, there's a Council of Social Witness, the Board of Review that was interested. Each one of these has a different responsibility and a different accountability. The board is the one that's the most visible. And yes, it has the most fiduciary responsibility. And so we spend probably twice the amount of time with board screening and vetting and trying to understand the mixture of skills that's required there, the mixture of experience, the mixture of voice, where the voice is going to be coming from, and what we perceive the board needs based on conversations that we have had with the board members. And so the board process is special and different when we do it. And so we have a tendency when we talk overall about what we do is to converge our explanation of all those things. But the board process is different, and a fiduciary responsibility is way up there in what we're, does this person have the experience within Unitarian Universalism, as Irvin said, an understanding of the history and experience of our culture, understanding of, to be able to serve and understand the fiduciary responsibility. But that level may not be needed for each of the other positions. Those may be entry positions to proceed and develop.
So each of the committees that we populate has a conversation with their liaison about what skills do you need, what are you short on, what are you looking for, and we are doing our best to make that all work out. But we take it very seriously. Did you not want to add something separate, or we passed your bus? Okay, I just want to get that out of the way. That seemed kind of relevant. And are there any other questions about anything that's going on with us? Yeah, come on up. You have to come up because our microphone doesn't go far back that far. I'm sorry. Well, I'll do my best. Hi. Where are you from?
I'm Jackie Phelps from Lafayette, Louisiana.
I've been sitting in the back for a little bit, and what I have gathered is that most board and committee posts do not have contested, don't have more than one candidate. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Kind of.
That it is only now that y'all are even developing job responsibilities for the board. Heretofore, it's kind of been, oh, you look good. It's not quite that casual, but it's been pretty casual.
I will speak about what I know.
Okay.
And that is, I became chair of the board last year, mm-hmm. and before I went into ministry, I ran an HIV program with 8 clinics, mm-hmm. right? And so I came in with a very business-like mm-hmm. sense of what needed to happen. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're having job description. I don't want to speak ill of the people who were in charge before, but I came here and got this chairship and decided they needed these things.
And you're the chair of the nominating
yes.
committee, not the
board. Yeah, please. Yeah. No. Only the nominating committee. Sorry. So I came onto the nominating committee and became chair of the nominating committee mm-hmm. and was like, oh, here are things that are missing that we could add for clarity. So the work that happened in my first year and the years before that, like Eleanor can tell you and Ken, they were deliberate. But I'm a little more anal retentive about things like that. So I believe in standardization. So I'm bringing that to bear now. So, and as far as the whole, like, there's only one candidate, there are...
That's pretty popular amongst any organization.
Right. So we're charged to do that by the gathered delegates.
Okay.
So we're responding to the instruction of the delegates when we do our work.
Okay, now I understand that part. Okay. I mean, when I was elected vice president of my congregation, we had a slate. We have a nominee committee. Okay. I feel better now.
No, that's what this time is for.
Right.
To clear things up.
And I didn't come in right at the beginning, but... What effort has been made to find qualified persons of color as candidates? I may have missed that.
Okay. That's a good question, and we can answer it over and over again because it's important. So the nominating committee is a majority-minority committee.
Okay.
Right? The current chair, the last two chairs have been people of color. The co-chair is a person of color. We are very focused on finding people to elevate into places of leadership without tokenizing or putting people in a place they can't succeed,
right?
So we very intentionally last year found people to go on the board and made sure they had strong allies and backup support, right? So we're really intentional about that. The thing is, we have an applicant pool, and without relying on, like, who do you know networks to get more people of color into this leadership, we are trying something new about how to get more people to apply. So, like, you may not have been here when I said this. We are really low in the southern states for national leadership.
Yeah.
So when I'm in the booth, anyone who walks by with a southern accent, I pull them into the booth. And I... Seriously, you, right? Right? She's seen me do it. Literally, I pulled you in because I heard your accent. Come in here and talk to you. Because I know that we're low in that area, right? So we are being intentional without being tokenizing or casual about it. It's a lot of work, and partly, frankly, as a person of color, I will tell you, when you're in leadership in the UA, everybody wants you. There's only so many of us, right? So as soon as you get off one committee, someone else wants you. So the small percentage of us who are doing national work are moved around a lot. Not a complaint, but we would love to find more people, but I don't know where they are, and so we are trying really hard to open our net further.
Maybe
to find more. I would love that. So come talk to me.
Okay.
Right.
What's the sign on the booth? Nominated today.
It's number 527.
Okay.
Come talk to us. We really want to cast our net wider. That's one of our goals. It's been the last couple of years, right, Alnora? A wider net.
not just who do I know who knows somebody over there.
Right.
Okay, it's a real mission for us.
Good.
Along with leadership development, which means if you come to us and you've done like church, like your congregational work, but no regional work, we might talk to you about doing a little regional work.
Yeah.
And then in a year, come and talk to us. We think of, I think of, frankly, nominating committee as a stepping stone to national leadership level committee. Mm-hmm. So we are thinking in those terms.
Okay.
But we need help.
Yeah. All right.
Can I feel better?
I feel way better.
Awesome. We are about out of time. So please hear this sincerely. We'll be at the booth. We're happy to talk to folks about questions they have. We want this to be a transparent, healthy, open process. We are volunteers trying to do the best by and for our faith that we can. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.